And we're now in our third lesson of our Divine Mentor series. And if you are taking notes in your service guide, there's an opportunity to take some notes, and I'll always encourage you to do so. In our Divine Mentor series, we are consistently looking at how the Word of God mentors us in our life. If in the year 2020, we will continue our Bible reading program, and I really encourage everybody to jump on board with this. Out in the foyer, there's an express plan and a full Bible plan. The express plan just has a little bit less reading than the full Bible plan. Either one of them will keep you on track with the entire body as we walk through it. And I would say to you that some people say, well, I don't know if I want to get involved in that, because if I do it and then I don't maintain it and maybe I get behind, then I don't have time to catch up, and so on and so forth. My encouragement would be this. Don't allow that excuse to be the thing that causes you not to start off strong in this, in reading through the Bible with us and doing devotions through the Bible with us this year. If you miss, if you read on a Thursday and then 3 months later you pick it back up, don't try to go back to the Thursday that you, the Friday that you first missed. Just pick it up where you left, where we're at today. And just continue on. Where you're at today will be where we're all at today, and we will just continue on. There's no condemnation in this. That's not the point. The point of this is to help us grow and develop in the Word of God. And if we're feeling condemned before we ever start, we won't start. And then we won't get the benefit of the Word of God being applied to our lives daily. And so I encourage you, jump in on it. We use the SOAP method. S stands for Scripture. O stands for Observation. A stands for Application. P stands for Prayer. And I encourage you to go back to the first lesson of this series, and we talk through pretty specifically how all that works. But this year in our Divine Mentor series, we're talking through the book of Esther and the story of this incredible woman who has so much to teach us about life. In week number one, our big idea was that God has a method of elevating his people for his purpose. In week number two, we talked about the fact that we can trust God to set up the win in your life. And this week, we're going to be talking about our big idea: when granted favor, walk wisely. When granted favor, walk wisely. See, we all have favor in our life in some area. But the question is, how do you handle the favor that God has placed in your life? How do you handle it? How do you walk within it? Now, as I was reading through this passage of Scripture, the verse that really popped out at me and caused me to stop for a moment and think was Esther chapter 5, verse number 3. So we're going to read the Scripture, then give you three observations and applications about the Scripture. Esther 5:3 says, "Then the king asked her, 'What do you want, Queen Esther? What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it is half the kingdom.'" Now that is a big statement. And if you do a little research on this statement, you'll find out that this was a fairly common statement for a king to make when they wanted to honor somebody. They would say, if it's to half the kingdom, what they were saying is, I'm going to bless you like crazy. I'm going to give you favor like crazy. You're not going to be more powerful than me. But up to half the kingdom, I will grant you that. So I'm not going to give you control, but I am going to give you what we're calling favor. Now, Esther is the queen, but we know already from Vashti's story that she's not untouchable. So she's stepping out in faith here and saying, I'm going to step into the king's throne room. I'm going to make a request of him. But before I ever make the request at all, before I ever have the opportunity to make the request, the king will either accept me or deny me. And if he denies me, it's possible that he'll simply put me to death. Because the rules were that if the king didn't call you to the throne room, then you didn't go. But if you did walk in and the king offered you his scepter, if he pointed his scepter at you, then that meant that he was giving you favor and that you had the opportunity then to make your request. You were not in trouble, if you will. Now, it's hard for us to understand this in our day and age, because in our world, we think, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't they have a trial by jury and you know, shouldn't there be a process? But in that day, the reality was, if the king didn't like you, he could just take you out. banish you, kill you, whatever he wanted to do, he could do because he had all authority. And so here is the understanding that we must understand, which is why it's called understanding. When we talk about the king, we're not talking about one that has a balance of power. We're talking about one who has all power. So when we say that our Father is the King of Kings, we're not talking about one whose power is mitigated by some other group or some other force. Our Father has all power. Praise God. Well, as it happens in the story of Queen Esther, the Bible says, so it was when the king saw Queen Esther standing in the court, that she found favor in his sight, and the king held out to Esther the golden sepulcher that was in his hand. Then Esther went near and touched the top of the scepter. I'm using the New King James Version here, which you might have noticed is a shift from the New Living Translation, which our previous scriptures were from. And the reason is because it's using the word, specifically using the word favor. And it's not that the other translations are specifically wrong. It's just that this one is translating it favor, which I think is a very accurate translation. And it's using it because that's the word that we're pulling out of here to illustrate the points of this sermon. The Hebrew word there means graciousness. So when the king offered favor, he's offering grace to Esther. She's given the grace of the king, which means that she has unique access with the king. She has unique resources that are being applied to her life and made accessible to her life. All the wealth and power of the king are now hers, in essence. He's gracing her. And Esther in this moment is not acting special. She is special. She's not acting one way, but really another. And maybe you know some people in your world that they act one way, but they're not really what they act like they are. In one of the television shows called American Idol, and I don't even know if it's still running or not, but we used to watch it years ago, and they would show these clips of people that had all the attitude of an amazing singer and none of the abilities of an amazing singer. But when they were told, that may not be your gifting, they would flip out. And have all this problem. Because see, in their mind, they are an amazing singer. They are unique. They are special. And maybe even in their mama's mind, they are unique and they are special. But everybody else on the planet knows that they are not unique nor special when it comes to singing. In this case, Esther is not acting like something. She is something. She is favored. She is special. And you, in your world today, you are favored in some area. You are unique in some area. But sometimes we fight to get ahead in an area. We fight to achieve some area of status or achievement in life. We're pushing forward. We're trying to obtain a favor or favor of someone. We're pushing in all these areas, and we push and we fight to get there. And eventually we do. We arrive. And what we discover is that the fight to get to this level is very different than living at that level. Walking in favor is very different than trying to get to that place of favor. But how you operate in favor determines how long you last and how high you go. So it's important to allow Esther to mentor us in this walk of favor, if you will, today. And I have an observation number one for you. If you're taking notes, this is what it is. Esther recognized and accepted the favor granted. She recognized it when it was granted, and she accepted the favor granted. She couldn't know whether or not King Xerxes would grant her that favor or give her that favor. She stepped into the opportunity that her position as queen offered her. She walked into the throne room. And when he saw her in the chamber, it was a decision that was made. It wasn't within her control. But we know from the story that he extends the scepter to her. And then she recognizes that. And so because she recognizes it, she walks to the king and touches the end of his scepter. That's her recognizing and accepting it. saying, I'm stepping into the favor that you've offered. Now, acting like she wasn't favored would have been an insult to the king. If he extended the scepter and she said, no, I just really wish I was favored. And the king's like, yesterday we were at, told you we were at Cedar Point, and I was sitting on this bench eating this delicious hamburger. And as I was sitting there, people were, of course, walking by and chatting as they were walking by. And we were only there for a few minutes, but I heard the two words, like literally, used together over and over and over and over. So apparently, like literally is a real thing with a lot of people. And so if Esther is standing there and the king extends his scepter and Esther's like, I wish I was just like literally favored. The king would be, no, like you are literally being favored. Literally. Come over here. How insulting would it have been to the king if she'd have been, I don't know. And then what if she acted like she wasn't worthy of the favor? Have you ever offered somebody a compliment and they're like, oh, no, I'm not worthy of that. Maybe they don't say those words, but that's what they say. You're like, okay, well, then I rescind my compliment. If you're not really worthy. I thought you were, but you're not. It devalues the compliment. It devalues the favor. Here's the application. I will not deny nor devalue the favor I'm granted. We deny favor when we don't accept and walk in it. And I think some believers deny God's favor, like literally, because they don't want to stand out. They don't want to be different. They don't want to acknowledge that they're different. But when you're favored by the King of Kings, you become unique in the world. Maybe you're favored with business acumen. You see an opportunity to bring a profit to a business or make the business profitable in some way that it hadn't been before, where others may only see a problem. You're just blessed in that. Maybe you're blessed in wealth management skills, either blessed in creation of wealth or managing wealth as it has been created. Maybe you've been uniquely created artistically. Everybody else sees junk, and you can make it into something beautiful and where we stand in awe and be like, wow, that's totally incredible, like literally. Maybe you are specifically gifted and blessed, and you're favored with a spiritual sensitivity where you can sense the Holy Spirit moving in one way or moving in another. You're spiritually sensitive. You can take the temperature of a room spiritually pretty easily, and it's an area that you're very, very favored. Maybe you have a particularly quick mind. There's some people who they think faster, it seems like, than the rest of us. And they're always three or four jumps ahead. Maybe you have a strong body. You're just favored with a very strong body. I had a friend growing up that he never really worked out that much or anything, but he could pick up the front end of a car. Not a large car, but, you know, any car is pretty impressive. And I don't know what he's doing with his life, but I have a feeling it has something to do with picking up front ends of cars. Just blessed with a very strong physique. Maybe you're blessed to speak or influence others. You have a favor in that area. You've been graced in that area. Here's the thing we must understand, that all are created equal, but not all are favored equally. We're favored differently. We are equal in intrinsic value, but different in granted favor. And so we must be willing to accept the favor that we've been granted by our Father, by the King. But we devalue favor when we act like we don't deserve it. When we say, no, that's not me. I'm just not worthy of that. Maybe you're not, but let's understand very clearly this morning that favor cannot be demanded only accepted, then applied. So if you're the best person at math in your class, but you refuse to accept and apply the favor granted, so you operate on the same level as everybody else, then you're going to get the grade of everyone else when you could get the grade you actually deserve because you're favored in a particular way. But there's a powerful force in our world today that's working to devalue favor. And those that are favored in certain ways are taught to despise or even be embarrassed by the favor that they operate in. One particular way that I can think of is that those that are favored with the ability to create wealth and to manage wealth are often told that you're not worthy of that, and that's not fair, and that's not right, that you would have that particular wealth, that you would not, maybe you inherited wealth, and if that's true, you should be ashamed of that. There should be a sense of shame, or that's devaluing the favor that God has placed in your life. And you say, well, how does that work biblically? Well, when God blessed Abram, he made him wealthy. And in fact, all of his sons inherited the wealth of Abraham, and then they continued to grow and expand that wealth. God did not in any way of Scripture, God did not say that we should devalue the favor that he's given us. And I'm talking wealth here because that's easy for us to see and understand. And it's something that is being hit in our world right now. But it can be applied to any area of favor that you may be walking in here today. Any area of favor. God does not teach us to devalue favor. We should honor the one granting favor by recognizing it, accepting it, and then using it. And that brings us to observation number two, that Esther used the favor she was given. The king offered the favor, and then he said immediately, what do you want? Now, in business terms, we might call this Esther's elevator speech. Because in business, they teach, and we teach, that if you're in the elevator with somebody who has the ability to help move your organization forward, and they look at you in the elevator and they say, hey, what do you do? Then you need to be able to tell them in the time it takes to go from one floor to the next in an elevator, in that span of time, you need to be ready to tell them who you are, what you do, and why it matters to them. That's your elevator speech. Xerxes says, what do you want? Up to half my kingdom, you can have it. What is it? And Esther knows exactly what she wants. She's ready to press into this favor that she's been given. And in this, I think it's interesting. God does not want favor to be wasted, but it's interesting that Haman, the ungodly one, and Esther, the godly one, both favored, both given opportunity, both of them are ready to use the favor they've been given. Now, I want us to understand something. 1 Corinthians 10:26 says, the earth is the Lord's and all of its fullness. So everything in the earth is the Lord's, including the favor that's in the earth. So every single person on this planet that is favored in some manner, whether they be a great athlete or a great actor or a great business person or a great teacher or a great principal or a great any, whatever area, great mom, great dad, whatever area we are favored to be great in, we have unique access, unique resources given to us in that area, whatever it may be, it is given to us by God because he has it all. All favor comes to the Lord, but how we use that favor, that's our choice. Haman uses his favor for personal aggrandizement, to crush his enemies and make himself greater. Esther uses her favor to elevate those around her and try to save a nation. So here's application number two. I will use my favor to benefit others. Now in the New Testament, God's blessed and favored people help push the kingdom of God forward. I can show you that all through the New Testament. I can show you that in Acts. I can show you that in the Gospels. All through the New Testament, favored people are pushing the kingdom of God forward. Peter is favored to be able to speak Paul is favored with a mind and the ability to write. Jesus is favored by the Father to be able to do the miracles and bring the gospel that he brings. And all through, you also have people that are helping finance the gospel as it is moving forward in the whole earth. So you got favor on every kind here, on every level here. But when Jesus is dealing with favored people, I want us to recognize that only one time did he ever tell a person of favor, a rich person, to give all he had to the poor and follow him. One time. And the issue here wasn't the solving of poverty. I think eradication of poverty is a phenomenal goal for humanity. No issues with that whatsoever. But Scripture also tells us that the poor we have with us always. So even if it's not financial poverty, there's poverty of one kind or another always that we're pushing against as the people of God. But in this case, Jesus wasn't telling the rich young ruler to give all he had to the poor so no one would be poor anymore. He was telling him to give all he had to the poor because the favor that this young man operated in was controlling him versus him controlling the favor that he operated in. And ultimately, we see that lived out because the rich young ruler says, I can't do that. I can't give up what I have to gain what you can give me. So I'm going to say no to that. Favor can control you. And many people, as we're in that process of trying to fight our way into that place of achievement, whatever it may be in, we gain a little and we say, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We gain a little more and then we say, thank you, Jesus. Oh, to God be the glory. But then when we achieve that area, that level, that moment when we say, yeah, I've kind of achieved some of the goals that I've had, we often look back at it and say, look what I've done. Look what I've built. Let me tell you what I've achieved. Favor can have us. You see, Haman probably had the good of the kingdom at heart initially. He was bringing value to the king at some point and in some manner. So initially there was something good about Haman, but the more he walked in favor, the more self-focused he became. So what does the scripture actually say to those who are favored? Now, the scripture we're about to read is going to talk about financial wealth, but we could apply it to any area of favor that you might walk in today. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 says, teach those who are rich in this world not to be proud and not to trust in their money, which is so unreliable. Their trust should be in God, who richly gives us all we need for our enjoyment. So God is giving us what we need. If someone is rich, God is providing that in their life. And I will tell you, rich is incredibly relative. I was listening to a man speak one time that in my world, he would be very wealthy. He said it was really hard to make the first $1 million. When he made the second $1 million, he was invited to a meeting where he walked into the room and he was really excited about, you know, where he was in life. And when he got in the room, he realized that he was the poorest person in the room by a long shot. Rich becomes relative. But what he's talking about here is, It is from God, and it should be for our enjoyment. I'll learn to speak English next week. But you can't focus on the wealth. You can't focus on the result of the favor. You stay humble before God. Tell them to use their money to do good. They should be rich in good works and generous to those in need. Always being ready to share with others. By doing this, they will be storing up their treasure as a good foundation for the future so that they may experience true life. So what is the scripture saying to those who are favored in whatever area you may be favored in? It's saying, keep an upward and an outward focus and resist the inward focus that comes with favor. Because benefiting others is not easy. In mind it is, but in practicality it's not. Why? Because there's an enemy called pride that stalks favor. Pride stalks favor. And it's revealed in different ways. Depending on the kind of favor you're operating in, the pride is different. I talked about people who are gifted in spiritual sensitivity. They can just know the Holy Spirit's moving in this way, or God's working in that way, or I have a word here, or a thought there, or whatever it may be. There's a spiritual sensitivity, but the way pride is often manifested in those that are spiritually sensitive is in through judgmentalism, where my way is the right way, and in some cases, my way is the only way. And if you don't do things my way, it's not following God. Therefore, I need to distance myself from that. In the case of wealth creation and management, sometimes this pride is manifested as control. I want all the details, and it will either be my way or I'm out. How about talents? God has favored me with gifts and talents, and so I can sing. Maybe you can sing like a bird, and you can play like, I mean, some people are just gifted. They're graced in those areas. I work hard. I can play some stuff, and I can sing some stuff, but I'll watch Pastor David do what he does, and it's just gross. He just sits there and does things, and it's just beautiful and awesome, and he's not even working hard. And I know how hard it would be for me to do what he does, and I don't even know if I ever could. And it's just amazing to watch it. And sometimes talents, those favored in talent, can become dismissive of others. My talent has made me superior to you. So all the lessers praise me. Like literally. Thank you. That was beautiful. I don't know who that was, but could I give you... it was you. Okay. That was awesome. I love our church. But notice that the result of all three of those are the same. If it's not done my way, I'm out. And I'm going to remove myself from using the favor that God has blessed me with to benefit others. I'll only benefit others if it's operating just like I want it to. It becomes inwardly focused. So today, look for ways your favor can benefit others. Worship and open the door for others to worship. Be generous and expect nothing in return. Offer talent in humility, giving God glory. Esther blessed and benefited so many with her favor who could not give her anything back. And that brings us to, I was going to say thought number three, but not yet. Because here's a big point. How you use what you have determines what you will have. Esther used favor and it elevated her. Haman used favor too and it destroyed him. Destroyed him completely. Last but not least, Esther's request matched the favor offered. Esther's request matched the favor offered. Xerxes offered favor and he said, I'll give it to you even if it's half the kingdom. And Esther was working to stop evil being done. She was trying to bring good into the world. And the king opens the door and Esther steps through it. And look at what Xerxes says. He says, I'll give you whatever you ask for up to half the kingdom. And what if she'd have said, listen, I'd really like a new rug in my office. That'd be great. Could we work that out? Xerxes would have said, why are you talking to me? Talk to somebody else about this. That's within your control. If she'd have said, you know, I'd just really like to have duck tonight for dinner. The favor was big. And so her ask, what she was looking for, was big. A small ask would have been unworthy of the offer. And the application here today is this: I will be bold in my use of favor. When walking in favor, don't hedge, don't back down, don't hold back, don't pull yourself back from what's being offered you. Don't try to act like you don't deserve it. Don't try to act like it's not being given. Go big. Favor isn't fair, so ask big. Why isn't it fair? Because the king could have offered favor to whomever, and whenever he was sitting there, he wasn't going, now listen, if I give Esther this favor, then I'm going to have to give everybody else this favor because we want to be fair. That's not what he was doing at all. He was saying, I choose you. How did he choose you? What favor is in your life right now that you know it's from God? Don't act like it's not there. Don't act like it's not yours. Don't act like he's not giving it. And so my question is, what are you asking for? In the context of your favor, what are you asking him for? What are you pushing into that favor with? What are you saying? God, you've blessed me in this way. I'm going to press into you now. I'm going to ask you to double what I have so that I can give to this and to that and to the other thing. And I'm not talking finances here. You might be blessed. You might be favored in wisdom, and somebody around you, somebody in your life needs wisdom from God that you could bring. Maybe there's an emotional strength that you have that you could loan, that you could give to others to lift them up. Maybe it is financially. Whatever it may be, where has God favored you? Ask big. Esther's use of favor did not diminish her. It only elevated her. Why don't you bow your heads with me right now? Father, in the name of Jesus, we're not diminished when we use the favor that you've granted us. We are elevated. We want to use her example to be able to step into this favor in a right and a godly manner. But not to hold back, not to act like we don't have it or you didn't offer it or we don't deserve it. To say we don't have it or we don't deserve it is to dishonor the one that's giving it. You decide, you determine who gets this kind of favor. And you've blessed your people with it. There are those in this world that are blessed with your favor, that have used it for ungodly means and for means that would be self-aggrandizing and lifting themselves up. I'm praying in your house with your children that there would be a sense of grandeur that would come with it, that would say, this gift that I have, it is mine. It has been granted. This favor has been granted to me. And now I'm going to walk in it in a manner worthy of its calling. Maybe somebody doesn't even recognize the favor that they're in. I'm praying right now that you would open up their eyes to see the favor that you've blessed them with. Open up their eyes, open up their hearts, open up their minds to be able to see what you've favored them with so that they can operate according to your will and according to your word. Oh, we give you thanks and praise for that in the awesome name of Jesus. And if you receive that today, can you just say amen? Praise God. Let's stand to our feet. Prayer partners, come forward. If you need prayer for anything at all, come forward as we end this service today. I want to give us an opportunity to pray. I want to give us an opportunity to worship. Let's sing and then we'll close in Jesus' name.